The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Kimmich und Müller. Müller könnte jetzt mal schießen. Links draußen ist Gosens dabei. Gosens durch den Fünfer durch. Möglichkeit, Schuss, Tor! Jetzt ist das Tor wieder da. Geht die Fahne nach oben? Geht die Fahne nach oben?
Nein.
Nein, sie geht nicht nach oben. Das ist das Tor für die deutsche Mannschaft.
Kimmich mit dem Auge für Havertz und für Gosens. Und das Tor!
Game of the tournament so far, Germany beating Portugal by 4-2. Stevie, can you just translate that commentary?
No.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Stevie, Nadim and Don here in the studio. Also joining us today, Frank LaBeouf, Jan-Olga Fjortoff, Luis Garcia and Julianne Laurent. But let's kick things off, shall we? Bring you the highlights of that game, of course. A lot of discontent from the German camp going into this tie. People questioning Jurgen Löw's at five at the back. He stuck with it. 15 minutes in, and it's Portugal that would take the lead, very much against the run of play. Germany were knocking at the door pretty much right from the kickoff, but then on the counter-attack, lovely move here. Jota, unselfish, laying it off to Cristiano Ronaldo, who'd make it 1-0.
Ronaldo nowhere near finished down at 36. He started the move, actually. Germany had a corner. He was the one that headed it clear. Went box to box, easy, tap in, finish, brilliant start.
All about own goals then, though, Nadim.
Yeah,
lovely play from Gosens on the far side, plays it in.
Yeah, he did really, really well on that side today. And, you know, it's a great ball, and it's unfortunate for Diaz that he, you know, tries to get his foot on it properly. But, you know, he sent that into his own goal, and that was a big moment in the game.
Yeah, Ruben Diaz then with the own goal to make it 1-1. And then
2-1.
4 minutes later, it's another own goal, Rafael Guerreiro this time, putting in the back of his own net, Stevie.
Yeah, and it's another Shinty one as well. Both played back.
I don't know what he can do.
Just stretches, not much he can do, but straight off the shin guard, straight in the back of the net. Incredible, 2-1 goals.
Hey, Jim, I mean,
there's a lot of good movement here, though. You know, it's not a German that finishes it, but the movement and the pressure that they put on is why the mistakes were made.
And it would continue then into the second half, 6 minutes after the break. Havertz makes it 3-1.
Man of the match, Gosens with it. Finish there, the cross at the far post. He was excellent, by the way. He had so much energy. Germany were absolutely breathtaking, the amount of, you know, space they had at the top end of the pitch, but the way they played the game, they had loads of energy, and he easily was the man of the match.
And then 10 minutes later, as you say, Don, the man of the match would make it 4-1.
And it's the last thing the doubters of the formation wanted to see was Joshua Kimmich crossing in a ball for Gosens at the back post. But credit to Jogi Love, you know, he believed in the system and the players went out there and they really showed him that they could work it today.
Portugal would get one back with 20 minutes to go, Stevie.
Yes. Now, the game was pretty much done at this stage. But I think what you saw there is the one thing that's going to hold the Germans back, as good as they were going forward.
Oh, it's been Mr. Negative. Germany, then, with a 4-2 win. This is what Gosens had to say after the game.
Yeah. Emotional.
Well, emotion, lots of emotion. It's just something I can't describe. I have no words for it. It's unbelievable what kind of feelings I had of myself, things that go through your head. Unbelievable. It's just a dream come true. If you score for your country at the European Championship, if you can participate at the European Championship for the national team, it's fine. But to even score is even greater. It's fantastic. It's magic.
Yeah, I think that
Mr. Gasperini, my coach there, had a great impact. I've been playing there for 4 years now. I have the system of Bergamo inside, and they showed and presented these qualities. Looks like I had these qualities in me. Mr. Gasperini managed to get them out, and I'm feeling well. Also, help in attacking. I have the timing. I can score goals. And of course, I love these situations. And I have to say thank you to Mr. Gasperini that he managed to get this out of me.
Gasperini, of course, is coach at Atalanta as well. Welcome in Frank, Luis, and Jan. Jan, let's start with you. Where the blooming heck did this come from?
Yeah, where did this come from? Because we have to remember how Germany came into this game after a terrible World Cup. And Löw is ending his career as a national coach. And in the first game against France, there was a load of criticism. Don't stick to that system. This is a terrible system. Use the Bayern system. Use like Flick will do when he takes over this. And today, the key players of the pitch was Kimmich and Gosens. With so many situations where Kimmich was actually giving the ball, crossing the ball to Gosens. And Gosens may be the most unknown player in the German squad, played for Atalanta. And I read more about him today. When he was 17, he was working on a gas station in his village. At a night, he was dancing in the village disco, they told me. So this is an unbelievable revenge for a very stubborn Joachim Löw. And I guess this stubbornness of Joachim Löw is his weakness, but it's also his strength. And I agree with you, Dan, what you said at the start. This was the game so far. I think Germany, they were, from the first minute, they were unbelievably good. And it was a fantastic counter-attack that made Cristiano Ronaldo made it 1-0, but it was still Germany's game all along over the whole 90 minutes.
Frank, what was so different then? Why does this work so well against Portugal and just didn't work against France?
Well, I guess it's the will of some players, you know, would change dramatically. We saw another Averst. We saw Kimmich and Gosens participating more in the offensive actions and going back and forth. It's what you want from the people on the side. It's mostly the animation. I don't like the criticism about the lineup, which player, which personnel you're going to put into, how you're going to play. It's only the players who make the game. It's why I love that game, because it's about intuition, and they felt it. They felt it, and they made the effort offensively, but also defensively, and that's the difference between them and Portugal. The first goal, Averst was very lazy, didn't come back, you know, and Portugal scored the goal. But after that, Germany did the job in both sides, you know, again, offensively, defensively, where Portugal, and we can see that, they're very lazy defensively. That's all about football. One team wanted more to win than the others.
Stevie, we were sat here 24 hours ago and we were saying, why would he stick to this system? It's got to be stubborn. It's got to be ego. He proved everyone wrong.
Look, it's a fantastic result, and you can't argue that going forward, they created havoc, they scored goals, you know, the pressure. The two own goals are just because of the pressure the Germans put on them. Mm. But unfortunately for Germany, they're not going to play against a team that stands back and lets them play. Because that's pretty much what Portugal did. You know, it's one thing to get men behind the ball, but eventually somebody has to engage the ball. And Portugal, of all sides, a team that won the Euros by sitting tight, defending and counter-attacking, didn't defend. I mean, you saw the goals. There's like 8 and 9 Portuguese jerseys in the penalty box, and not one of them is anywhere close to a player or a man or the ball. I mean, you talk about an absolute embarrassing defensive display. Now, I always say it, you can only beat what's put in front of you. Yeah. And my goodness, it didn't half go well. But I'll tell you what, they ain't going to play against many teams that just stand off them and let them pick passes and run around.
But they are going to play most teams like that, aren't they? Germany are going to have the majority possession no matter who they're up against, unless, for example, it's France. Most of them are going to sit back. So in that case, surely that system is going to work.
If a team sits back and doesn't face them up,
right,
then we'll find out. You're saying, well, it's France, but I would assume most teams are going to face the opposition up. unlike Portugal today, who stood off and let them pick passes and run around them and did absolutely nothing defensively. I'm not... It's a great performance.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, you can't turn around right now and say, oh, Yogi was right, actually.
But you can, can't you, Nathan?
Well, you can. You
Why not? They work.
Because
they
won the first time they were wrong.
No one had Germany winning this game. And he's just gone out and proved you wrong using the system that everybody told him to change.
Germany were favourites, by the way, with the bookies to win this game.
Well, just because the bookies got England as favourites, Stevie. Yeah.
They had England as favourites.
Exactly.
They had.
Yeah, but yeah, listen, we've had this system. We've had two games. And we've had completely opposite performances. One was completely rotten, and one was fantastic. So we need to hold our horses a little bit.
Do you think the one against France was rotten? Because at the end of the day, France only scored from an own goal.
Well, I'm going to steal somebody's quote. I don't remember who it was, but France pretty much only let Germany do what they wanted them to do. Mm. And I actually agree with that.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. I think France reacted to the fact that they had a lead. You know, Germany themselves, I don't think they played that badly. They had some chances which they, you know, could have taken. And to wind you up, I think they had their XG was higher than France's on that particular day.
Right, away from
XG. So on another day, maybe.
Don't bring that up. What are you doing that game? Talking about this performance.
Yes.
It was excellent from Germany.
Yeah, it certainly was. It certainly was. And to be honest, for me as a player or an ex-player, I like the way that the manager stood by what he believed in.
Right.
Because ultimately, I think that's what's brought him success. I think if he relents and decides that I'm going to do whatever the media say, then you ask the question, what's the point of being there if you're essentially a puppet? So I think I like the way he did it. The players, you know, they have bought into it. Obviously, you could maybe get more from someone like Kimmich, but they've just played against the European champions and they've dominated them. They scored four goals. Obviously, two were on goals. And now they've got momentum going into the next game with a formation people doubted.
Big momentum.
I saw a strange game early on. I thought Germany were brilliant. They set the tone. And then what I saw then from Portugal was their analysts have looked at how Germany play when they go forward. And defensively, they've conceded two goals in exactly the same scenario as now Germany against France and against Portugal. And there's a weakness when Ginter's on that right-hand side and Kimmich is high up the pitch because he wants to be a forward-thinking wing-back. And that left side is a worry for Germany. And you can't be scoring four games in every single game. You can't be conceding two goals and having to score three and four every single game. But once they got past that first period and they scored, they got momentum. Then they grew and they got confident. In the end, it was an unbelievable performance that I watched. But very early on when they conceded, I thought, that's a little bit of a worry for me. So you're turning the sort of game. It's a little bit like when you watch Bayern at times. You see Bayern go and win the Champions League and you see them in the final. You see them in the semis and the quarter. They play high-risk football. And any team at any given time, it seems like a contradiction of what I'm saying, but when you watch Bayern play, they close to turn a game into 50-50 and they're a machine and they rely on what they've got. But they do offer you lots of chances. I think Germany are the same. I think with that system, they can offer up a few chances. And Portugal got their goal. Right. But then after that, they got Kimmich high up the pitch where he wants to be. Then they got Gosens, who's been brilliant this season at Atalanta, where he wants to be. And all of the front men in the midfield after that point, I thought was sensational for Germany.
Luis, we heard Stevie bring it up. The reason that Portugal come into this tournament as defending champions, because they were so tight defensively, of course, 5 years ago. So good, so organised. How do they concede four today?
Yeah, I think that the Fonseca plan didn't work as I think he wanted. I think he was planning, to be very well organized at the back, to try to be very pragmatic when they got the ball and try to make good transitions forward. And they got the first goal, so they said, that's fantastic. But they forgot that the German team is a real threat. It's a drill that it tries and tries and tries. And I think the mistake comes because they thought that the German team always tried to go through the middle. They tried to bring ball. They tried to make those fantastic runs from Müller, from Gnabry, from Havertz. And they forgot the wide areas. And today, Gosens in the left side, I think it was a knife. Every single time he got the run, Semedo was too tight, too close to the centre-back. So there was a lot of space. And Kimi, exactly the same. So Müller was moving all around. So at the end, you got so many players floating that it's very difficult to control. And yeah, it's true that there were two own goals, but if they were not touched by a defender of Portugal, they were touched by players of German because they arrived. Havertz arrived, Gnabry arrived. There were players getting into the box. Two non-strikers, like we all know, but yes, two players who can arrive from second line, arriving from near post, like Havertz scored in the second half as well. So at the end, the plan was defend well, but the wide areas to our German team like this one, you cannot let them that much space.
It is all to play for in Group F. Everyone can still qualify. Everyone can still go home. Hungary taking on France. Take you through what happened here. 31 minutes into this one, Benzema with the effort. He just gets everything wrong, doesn't he, Don?
Yeah, he's going for that sort of finish on the right side. Just comes across it right at the last second, just slices across that.
France had so many chances in the first half, but then in injury time, just before the break, Fiola, brilliant, 1-0.
Yeah, what a huge moment this was in the game. I think Fiola's just done Pavard on a 1-2 essentially. And then that first touch there basically took those two defenders out of the game. And you're thinking, can he finish? Yes, he can. And that really just set up the whole game for them.
It really kind of knocked the wind out of France's sails, didn't it, Stevie, in the second half. They weren't the team they were in the first, but they do get the equaliser through Griezmann.
Well, when you have the quality that they do, there's a chance that you're going to see it sometime. And the space of the second period, 45 minutes. And Mbappe just puts a ball across and Griezmann just pounces on it and sticks it home.
There were shouts for a penalty here.
Not for me. No, not for me. I think Hungary showed...
Here we go again.
I think Hungary showed how to play against France. Oh, I was well impressed with their midfield
three. How do you
grab
somebody around the waist, pull his pants down and it's not a foul?
I think Hungary showed how to play against France.
But he grabbed him around the waist, fell, and then he fell down himself asking for a free kick.
So it finishes then. Hungary 1, France 1. Frank with us, Jules joins the show as well. Frank, was that you cackling, come on, in the background? You thought it was a penalty?
Of course it's a penalty. I mean, it would have been unfair to the Hungarian because I really think that it was only fair to see with the atmosphere. I don't know. It was a kind of game where I was quite happy to see a draw. But we are talking about that specific action. It's rugby. It's rugby. Come, Don can say it's not a penalty. It's only rugby. So, yeah, it was a penalty. But I think to analyse a little bit the French team, I'm disappointed because so many clumsiness. We talked about those three at France, you know, who could bring something special. And they do. They create a lot, but they have to finish it. And Benzema had to finish. Mbappe had two chances, one first half, one at the end of the game. He has to put in it. That's something they have to do. But again, I enjoyed the game because I enjoyed the atmosphere of the 68,000 people and yep. The Hungary getting a point and not being disappointed like it was against Portugal. I have no doubt that France will go through. I was just happy to see a fantastic atmosphere this afternoon.
Is anything a penalty, Don, these days for you?
listen, I think Frank is clutching massively.
Really?
I do, massively. There's all sorts going on. If you're the referee and the VAR guy's there, you're looking all over the place.
Right.
There's so many people grabbing different shirts and everything. It's ridiculous.
Two wrongs players don't make a right.
Players hitting the floor everywhere.
Do you think if Kimpembe went down, do you think they're looking at it differently?
Probably.
Because Kimpembe doesn't even realise that he's tried to grab him.
Right. English referee, Don.
Good referee, one of the best.
That's what does it. Jules, no point in asking, you're going to say it's a penalty as well, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%.
OK. what went wrong with France today, Jules?
I thought they were complacent to start with, which is a problem that we've had before, that we've seen before, even with this group of players, of how they can be so focused and so disciplined and determined in a game against Germany a few days before, and then a bit complacent because this is a game that I think they expected to win and that they took for granted. And yes, they had enough chances to win it and they should have won it, but that Hungarian team deserved their point because they fought hard, far harder than the French, who made mistakes. I mean, we didn't wait for tonight to know that Pavard was not a very good player. He's not even a right back, to be fair to him. He's more of a centre back. But you can't play at that kind of level and have this kind of attitude, making those kind of mistakes all along. And I just think they were let down individually by some mistakes and some players not playing at their best. And also, I think collectively they will be complacent.
I think the Hungarians today, Dan, showed they give the example on how you play against France. The midfield three, I thought, for Hungary were fantastic. They got all over Rabiot, Pogba and Kante. Didn't let them breathe. The energy that they showed, they were brilliant. They were non-stop running. The work rate, the system, you know, how they played against France, they were brave at times as well. Not many teams step onto France and, you know, try to stop them from playing. Everyone's a little bit scared and a little bit cagey, standing off them, giving them a little bit of room.
Done.
But they deserved their... Go on, Frank.
Done. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I cut you off, and I don't want you to think I'm on your back today, but if Benzema and Mbappe scored the first two goals, you would say that Hungary was almost in existence. They had one chance to score. It's not fair to say that, because even being complacent, as Jules said about France, you have to see that they have so many chances to score. It's just because they missed those chances and they've been clumsy that you can't find an explanation why they lost the 2 points and one Hungary got 1 point.
But they didn't take them. It's not
because of the tactic. But it's not because of the Hungary tactic that Hungary got a point. It's because France has been clumsy. That's it.
Dan?
Yeah, go on.
Now, is Jan trying to intervene between UK and France?
Oh, I thought
France.
We cut you off. It's like
the English Channel when the fishermen are battling, as you can see. But it's quite interesting today, and we shouldn't miss that point, that today the Hungarian also had a home advantage. We haven't had a home advantage in football for 1.5 years. It was unbelievable. It was a fantastic atmosphere. I thought that was more that took them forward than actually their tactics. I'm on Frank that they had a lot of chances. Having said that, I also think it's brave of Hungary to be as standing as high as they did against France. And it's also a paradox that the goal France scored was from a long kick out from Lloris. Mm. You know, they tried all kind of things to get through, all flicky-flacky, and then it ended up with a long thing from the goalkeeper, a long kick from them. So I think today was the arrival of the home advantage again, and I think more than the tactic, Don, that was an advantage for them today.
You know, the biggest thing, when you play for the best team, most of the time the biggest enemy is yourself, and that's in your attitude, the way you prepare for the game. And yes, France were definitely better than Hungary. You can't say they weren't. Mm. But the reason they're missing the chances is because they're just not quite there mentally.
Right.
You know, if you've got a Benzema on his toes, fired up, he's not missing chances like that. But the fact that they come out a little complacent, which is the perfect word from Jules, and as I said, we're the best team most of the time. The biggest enemy is you.
Right. Luis, obviously we've seen Benzema tearing it up for Real Madrid over the years. In a Real Madrid shirt, we've seen him bury this sort of chance week in, week out. What did he get wrong here?
Well, I guess you guys mentioned. For me, I think it's about being more accurate. We've seen that the mistakes in this kind of competition, they punish you so much. You have to be very focused and concentrated. We talk about Pavard's situation being a little bit flat on that kind of situation. When you play against a team that is waiting for that kind of chance, you cannot allow to 1 inch because they can get a score. And with the amount of supporters, I think that is a massive boost for the player, that after so long to have that in your bag is going to make you run for 120 minutes and push from the first minute until the last one. Playing against a French team, the way that they play, I think the French team started a little bit slow, and with the time, they run out of leg at certain points. So at the end, when you play against these kind of competitors, when they are well organized, that they got the supporters at the back, if you don't kill the game early, then you're going to suffer and you're going to struggle to get a good result.
Let's take a look at the group, because goodness me, it's going to be exciting on Wednesday. Obviously, these matches are going to be taking place at the same time. Portugal against France, Germany against Hungary. You take a look at the table, and of course, the top three in theory go through. The top two, definitely. The third place all depends on how they finish compared to others in other groups. Looking at this, Jules, I wouldn't want to be Portugal.
Yeah, and especially when you know the history recently with the two countries. France won in Portugal in September, last September, and they drew in Paris. They know each other so well. Of course, it's a replay of the last Euros final, and there would be a bit of a revenge, I think, in the players' mind as well after what happened in 2016. And logically, you know that Portugal can be knocked out. It depends. I think they might be able to go through with 3 points. We'll have to see. see. But it's tricky. It's tricky for everyone, where everybody can still qualify in a way or another. It's very similar to the Spain group in a way. So it's good. It's really good. But that France-Portugal game in Budapest on Wednesday night, I think is really worth a watch.
It's going to be awesome, isn't it? Always exciting, the third round of matches. Portugal against France, Germany against Hungary. That is Wednesday, kickoff at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Right then, Spain in action against Poland. As promised, Luis Enrique stuck with Morata up front. He put Moreno alongside him as well. And that combination would lead to the opening goal, Don.
I thought this was a mile offside in real time, I have to say, Dan. I was watching that thinking...
And you're wrong.
I was absolutely wrong. It was a brilliant decision. The Polish defender, Heel, just played Morata onside. It looked very tight. You look at it there, and even from the angle, you think he might just be on. But it's a really, really good ball and an excellent finish. He fancied Morata from there.
Initially, as Don says, it was given offside, but the VAR took a look, and the goal is awarded. 8 minutes then into the second half, Stevie, Lewandowski.
Lewandowski stays strong. He gets his lead. I mean, how soft is Laporte there? You've got to be stronger than that.
Spain wanted a foul, didn't they?
Yeah, it's
he's never been trying to go for the ball though. That's as in
never
Laporte.
A foul.
I want Laporte to try and head the ball first.
You he's know not what? Even brave enough to go into a challenge with Lewandowski.
And then, pretty much from the goal, a penalty would be awarded here, Don.
Yeah, I think it was one of them again. In real time, I thought nothing of it. And then you see it in the slow motion. It's definitely a foul and yellow card. And the referee's done the right thing. He didn't see it in real time. He went to the monitor, checked the monitor.
Yeah.
Very quickly, he awarded a penalty.
Yeah. Moreno then sticks up. He hasn't missed a penalty for Villarreal all season, 12 for 12. He hits the post. Morata then, could he have done better?
Oh, you know what? When I saw it initially, I gave him a pass because of the pace it was coming at him. But the more you see it, he should have done better.
You tried to open that right ankle, didn't you? And it just came off his heel.
It is coming at him pretty quick.
So it finishes Spain 1, Poland 1. Let's get some reaction to that score, shall we? Martin Einstein spoke to Alvaro Morata after the game.
Alvaro, what are your feelings after a game that you had tonight?
Our feelings is we lose 2 points. We have a lot of chances today as well. And we need to take out this game, Sweden game, out of our heads, out of our thinkings, and we must work much and we need to improve on small details that they give you a victory or a drop.
How important is to have scored tonight regarding the result that you have at the end?
No, honestly, I don't care because it's a sport of 24, 26 men, and if I want to score only and I think about myself, it's better if I play chess or tennis. It's a team sport and I'm not happy because we didn't take the 3 points.
Hard to argue that Spain deserved to win though today, wasn't it, Luis?
Yeah, I think that they deserve because they create chances once again. They play well, they control the game. But once again, we were mentioning about the French and the Hungary game, about mistakes. The German is exactly the same. When you commit mistakes, you're going to be punished. And well, when you are inside the box, you guys, Nicole, I think was mentioning about being soft. Laporte cannot be being soft. With a player like Lewandowski, you know he's going to make himself big. He's very good in the air. So if you have you need to have an eye on a player of Poland, it's Lewandowski when he's inside the box. And at the end, when you are not clinical, I will repeat it again. In this kind of competition, you cannot go through. It's a big chance that Spain missed today because with a good result today, those 3 points, you will arrive to the last one. A lot more relaxed. You need Slovakia to be open and you will have more chances. Like this, it's going to be a thrilling game, of course, but I think that Spain is going to struggle to get those 3 points.
Frank, with your defensive hat on, is that a foul?
Well, it's not a foul from Lewandowski. I think you have to try to find your space, and it's only normal that you can touch at some point the defender or the opponent. I think Laporte should have been stronger and not face his on goal. And it's when you mark Lewandowski, you have to be ready to fight hard in the air to make sure you get something. But I find Laporte, you know, softer than now because he's Spanish than it was when he was French. That's maybe the reason why.
That's why the French got rid of him. Luis, obviously so much talk about Alvaro Morata going into this game. Luis Enrique showing very much his confidence in him, and that was rewarding Morata coming and celebrating with him on the touchline. But still, you just feel, even like that penalty chance that he had, should he have scored it?
Yeah, he should. I mean, of course, now we're going to think about Morata every single time he's on the ball. We're going to try to analyze it. I think he played very well. He controlled the game. He moved well. It's true that at the end he was a little bit tired. You could see that he was arriving. He got a couple of chances holding the ball inside the box, but the legs weren't working the way he wanted. And in that occasion, in the penalty, you arrived perfectly earlier than the rest. But it's not easy. The ball comes very quick. You need to put your body. Morata is a tall player, so that you have to bring down your body a little bit to try to get that ball open the inside. It's not an easy control. It's not an easy shot, but it's true that he could have scored it.
Look, I don't care about this full screen about what's going on in the Euros and penalties, because that's just another conversation. I do want to talk about that opportunity, Nathan, because you're pulling a face.
Do you know what? I keep watching it, and I feel like it's getting worse and worse, because I'm looking to the way it bounced, and it's like bouncing into him for a half volley to tap in. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't think he's had to volley it in. So I would expect him to score there. I think if I was on the field, I'd be very, very disappointed if he didn't. Like, I understand it came quickly, but like I say, it's like it's on a setup for a half volley for him to be able to open up his foot and send it in.
That's not an easy finish, mate, honestly. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it's an easy finish, but I expect him to score.
Well, we all expect him to score, but the technique he went for was the correct technique, where you open your foot out and you're trying to sort of fade it into the bottom right-hand corner. And he just got a little bit edgy, that's why it came off his heel.
Yeah.
It's not an easy one.
I don't think you can underestimate the pace the ball's coming at him.
Right.
You know, I think that's the key, which is why he just didn't have time. He's gone, I agree with Don, he's gone for the right finish, yeah, opening himself up. But because of the pace the ball's coming, he just doesn't have time to do it. Or if you want to be critical, you can say he didn't react quick enough. Mm. But it's not an easy chance.
If you were to be playing on the field with him, would you just say, oh, that's unlucky? Or would you be frustrated that he's not finished?
No, I think you'd leave him alone, but I think you'd be devastated because you'd fancy him to score because he's a good striker and he's technically very good. But when you're put in high pressure scenarios and that type of finish, I think the lads will all agree, once it comes off the post, bounces just in front of you, you're thinking that's an easy chance.
Right.
Your mind just goes slightly because it should be an easy chance, but it's not. His technique was the right thing.
Yeah.
In step, finish bottom right-hand corner. If you're going to miss it that side.
Right.
The fact that he snatched at it, that's why it came off his heel and missed on the wrong side.
It's probably easier if you're more confident. Would you agree with that?
Lewandowski would have scored no problem, wouldn't he, Jan? He, of course, showed some character, had that opportunity in the first half, played it straight at the goalkeeper, but then made amends and then some with a header to equalise.
Yeah, well, you will just sometimes feel when these great players, and one of the best players in the world, and you play for Poland, it's a bit the same for Alaba when he's playing from Austria. You just feel they're missing their good teammates in and around them. But I think Lewandowski today showed an example of Poland. He worked very hard, and he was like sometimes on a mission to get them back there. And as you said, Dan, a big, big chance in the first half on that rebound. I still can't believe he didn't score. Mm. I think I tweeted he can't score, and I think I've never used those words with Lewandowski. But there was a very well taken header. Not only was Laporte looking like a kid when he was jumping, but still, let's not underestimate the fitness of Lewandowski just hanging there, winning the ball and be able to put it in that corner. So it was a magnificent goal. Goals like that sometimes underestimated, because when you do the goal of the tournaments and all that, those kind of things, these goals are never a candidate. But maybe these are the hardest goals to score.
Luis, what's wrong with Spain?
How can I tell you? I think that at the moment the confidence is very low. I think that the team needs to react with the players that we got. I still think that we saw Fabian in the second half. We saw Sarabia once again, and they didn't bring much to the table. I think that Luis Enrique could use a little bit more of rotation. We got players who can make the difference with like Adama Traore, a different player who can go 1v1s, who can bring a little bit of speed up front and maybe try different things. I think Spain needs to bring something else. With Thiago on the bench, I think a creative player like him should be on the pitch a little bit more often, more minutes. We'll see, because it's not going to be easy. Slovakia is going to be waiting and you need to win.
Goodness me, that's going to be some day as well of action in Group E, isn't it? Those teams all vying for a place in the knockout stages. That precedes the France and the other games as well. That is Wednesday. Wednesday's going to be good, Don. Are you still here?
Yes, still here. Spain might have to graft for that, because Slovakia defensively...
Oh, I don't want to preview. I was just making a little conversation. Slovakia against Spain, Sweden against Poland on ESPN and ESPN2. Meanwhile, let's take a look at Sunday, shall we? Italy taking on Wales. It's Switzerland against Turkey. It's the first third round of matches in Group A. Of course, Italy flying at the moment. Wales in second. Switzerland with it all to do as they take on Turkey, who are still looking to pick up their first point. Hey, and what that means, Don, earlier. Means you finish earlier tomorrow.
Do you like that, dear?
Yeah, of course. You will go get your suntan on.
I'm not speaking to you and Frank anyway.
Sunday then, 2 p.m. Eastern. We'll be here live with you on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Copa America going on at the moment. Argentina in action last night, taking on Uruguay. Brazil certainly have been a team that have impressed. Argentina have been somewhat more pragmatic in the way in which they've gone about things. 30 minutes into this one. Romero with a header to make it 1-0.
Good header. Just having a look at the goalkeeper there. It's just over the line. Yeah, just over the line. Good header.
And then 14 minutes later, Cavani goes down in the box, Stevie, but nothing was given.
Oh, he didn't make any contact, did he?
Penalty, that.
He never made any contact.
It's a penalty, man.
Never penalty.
Yes. He never made any contact.
That'd be a penalty if there's no contact. Uruguay nil, then, is how it finished. Meanwhile, in the other game, Chile in action. Let's take you through what happened here. 10 minutes in, and it is Chile who would take the lead.
From Ben Brereton, was it? The man born in Stoke playing for Chile.
Perfect.
There we go. Say no more.
What?
Knowledge, big man.
Hey.
I played against him, and then when I saw he scored, I was like, hold on a second. But yeah, his mother's from Chile, so perfect sense.
Chile 1, Bolivia 0. Argentina and Chile then looking good, aren't they? 4 points apiece. Let's go to Jules, who I think has been keeping a close eye on what's been going on in South America. Looking at Argentina, just enough again, Jules.
Yeah, but they played well. They played well. Messi was on top form again. We spoke yesterday about Neymar, and that he looks a man on a mission to win this Copa America on home soil as well. I think we could say the same for Leo Messi and this Argentina team. Let's not forget that he's never won it with Argentina, and certainly the way he's been playing in the two games against Chile and against Uruguay, two really tough games, far tougher than what Brazil had to face in the opening two games as well of the tournament. Let's not forget that he's been great. It's a goal and assist, twice player of the game, man of the match as well. And they defended well. I thought they hardly give anything to Suarez and Cavani up front for Uruguay, who hardly had a chance really the whole game. And I thought it was a really convincing win from Argentina, who could have scored more goals. Yeah, it's Guido Rodriguez, by the way, who scored the goals, not Cristiano Romero. But it was good. And maybe they're not as flamboyant as Brazil. But again, they played against far tougher position than what Brazil have.
Julian Aron with your facts. Thank you very much for keeping us in line. Just a reminder, Tim Vickery, keeping you up to date with everything you need to know about Copa America over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
An emotional week, wasn't it, for Sergio Ramos, despite Stevie saying, what's he crying for, he was telling me today. 14 years at the club, so much success for the Real Madrid captain. And interesting stuff he had to say regarding his contract negotiations. In the last months, Real Madrid offered me an offer of 1 year with 10% less salary. The money was never the problem. I wanted 2 years, then I accepted the proposal, but the contract renewal offer had an expiration date, and I didn't know about it. Luis is still with us. Luis, am I being somewhat cynical to suggest that how on earth did you and your agent not know about it?
Well, I guess it was a misunderstanding. We put it that way. I think that what everybody was mentioning about is like Sergio Ramos has been, or his agent has been talking about with different clubs. And when the thing didn't work out, they tried to get that deal. And then the deal was over the table, was out of the table. So at the end, yeah, you could say that maybe not, but it's a pity, to be honest, because after 40 years, 22 trophies, it was a fantastic partnership between Sergio Ramos and Real Madrid. And I think both sides are going to lose, because I think Sergio Ramos in Real Madrid is a key, is a leader, and Real Madrid is going to miss it. So we'll see where Sergio Ramos is going to end, but I'm sure that the team that he arrives is going to be lucky to have him.
Well, that's the interesting point. Where could he go? Liverpool shirt behind you, our friend Stevie Nicol, big fan of Sergio Ramos. Would that make sense for you?
I think all the supporters from Liverpool will be happy. I'll be happy to sign for Liverpool. But I think he's looking for other places. I think he's been linked with Manchester City, with United. But I'm sure that we're going to have to wait a little bit more, because I heard also that MLS could be at a good situation for him. So we'll see where he arrives.
Hey, he's bringing a lot. Will you take a look at his resume and what has he achieved during his career? Stevie?
What?
Liverpool? Manchester United, Manchester City?
No, thanks. I do believe we have Konate coming from Leipzig, so yeah. That'll do fine.
Right. You don't like him, Steve, you know?
I never said it.
I was just asking.
What do you mean,
don't?
I don't know the guy.
Do you not like him as a player?
As a player, yes. I think he's a good player. I think he's a great player, yeah.
So you would like him at Liverpool, then?
No.
Why?
Well, because he's not a great player anymore. Listen, there's only one reason why Real Madrid are letting him go. It's because they don't want him. Because whether there's an expiration date on the contract or not, if they really wanted him, they go, don't worry about that, big man. Yeah, we'll just have the year. And he would have went, oh, yeah, that'll be fine. Yes. They don't want him. Let's be honest.
Manchester United, Jan, of course, took that gamble with Cavani. Worked well. Could we see something maybe similar with Sergio Ramos?
I think they could. And we saw that with Thiago Silva at Chelsea as well. I mean, that kind of deal is possible. I think that Sergio Ramos got to play with someone next to him that is quick. I think that is important, although I'm not saying he's very, very slow, but playing with Varane is something else than playing with Maguire. So I think that he could be struggling also at Manchester United. But they need to do something. And I think he will get a club. I'm not worried for Sergio Ramos and Stephen Nicol. Why don't you just be honest? You don't want him because he took out Salah in that final. That is all what it's all about.
The tapes will prove he didn't like him before that. Definitely not. Meanwhile, Memphis Depay is officially a Barcelona player. They've got a lot of attacking options now. Messi, Griezmann, Depay, Dembele, Braithwaite. Could Aguero? Oh God, I forgot he'd even joined. Aguero's there. Fati back, of course, from injury. Coutinho, Trincao as well. Luis, how on earth is Ronald Koeman going to fit all of these into the side?
No, I don't know. It's true that there are a lot of strikers, a lot of midfield. I think some players, when they get ready, Ansu Fati, Coutinho, they're going to be part of this team, but I'm sure that Barcelona is working already to try to get some money from those players. There is no way that all of them can play up front or even in midfield. I think they can play also in midfield as Coutinho done a few times. But it's true that there is no way. It's true. I have to mention as well that there is a long competition. They have to play. They have to try to win every single competition as all the top teams. So you're going to need players. But when Messi is in the team and you know that he's going to play every single player, you only have two or three places for 8-9 players. So I'm sure they will see some players leaving Barcelona very soon.
And I'm sure, Jules, they'll get exactly the amount of money they want for those players going out. Barcelona's financials once again proving extraordinary.
Yeah, and we've seen in recent years how great a selling they are as well. They've struggled, and because they've overpaid for players like Dembele, who, by the way, only has 1 year left on his contract. So if you don't extend him, he could easily leave on a free. So you won't even make anything out of the 150 million that you spent on him from Borussia Dortmund 3 years ago. So it's tricky. And in the current context, as we've been saying all season, this transfer window will be very, very different to anything we've seen before. So you can't even expect to get a lot of money for those players. And I'm not even sure if you're going to get any clubs at all for some of those players. Like, good luck with Coutinho. You know, good luck with others that are on this squad and that are not needed anymore. Because, like, as we've been saying, offensively, there are far too many players for the amount of positions in the team.
Jules, is Memphis Depay a good addition, great addition? How would you describe him going to Barcelona and after his stint in Ligue 1?
Well, it was great for Lyon, of course. This is a big step up. He knows Ronald Koeman so well from the national team. He knows Alfred Schroeder, his assistant from the national team as well. They have a lot of faith in him. The issue, there's a few things. Of course, he's a great player technically. He's a leader. He's got that personality that I think is great. But he's the same profile as Messi. He plays in the same way, same as Griezmann as well. They are like sort of false number nine, if you want, or second strikers. There's no way you can play them all together. It's completely crazy. So Memphis can play wide. He's played that before, but that's not where he's at his best. So I'm really, really curious. I'm really excited to see what kind of Barcelona front line we will have next season. There could be a lot of rotation. Aguero has to play. I mean, you signed him to play him and Messi together. So he will have to be somewhere. So it's going to be, I think it could be a big headache for Koeman as well.
Just completely switching gears. Luis, as we've got you on, I wanted to ask you about Rafa Benitez and, of course, those rumours that he could be going to Everton as a man who played for Liverpool and played under Benitez. What do you make of that possibility?
I don't know. I spoke with him not long ago. The Everton situation wasn't on the table. We was waiting for a good chance, a good opportunity, something that he liked, he enjoyed, and built something important. But, I'm not sure if Everton supporters are going to be happy. I'm sure that the Liverpool supporters are not going to be happy. But he's a professional. He's been in Newcastle. He's been also in Chelsea. That you know the relationship between Chelsea and him long time ago was the best one. So I don't see it happening. But, well, he's on the table, so we'll see what's going to happen. Rumours are over there.
Luis, thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys. Of course, keep up to date with all the latest news, not only the players and the managers and where they could be heading. Be sure to go over to the website and check out Transfer Talk.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everybody who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. The boys and Jan will be here to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. How are you getting on, Nadim? You enjoying life here with us in real life?
Day two's okay.
In the flesh,
day two's okay.
Enthusiasm isn't quite...
Yeah, no, I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see how I really feel about you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. God. It's so harsh, isn't it, Don?
It's fair. It's fair.
He's got you sussed already.
Jan is here as well. Jan, you've been taking part in a show in Norway, which means you've hurt your back. What's happened?
No, not my back. This is reality show with six sports people with their kids.
Right.
I got my kid back from Scotland, and we were competing as mad. And after 3-4 days, I got this little problem in my thighs. Kept on sprinting. I never sprinted in my life. When I played, I didn't do that. So that let me stretch. So after the extra time, now I'm going to do a big, big stretch to get off of my sofa here in my room. But it was fun.
So
it's very fun.
There's a Norwegian TV show that wants to have you and your family doing sports against other families.
Exactly, sports people. Wow. So it's all sports people, handball, skiers, whatever.
But how'd you get on?
I can't tell you.
You got to tune in, Stevie.
I've got news for you. We don't get Norwegian TV in Connecticut.
Spoiler alert.
I thought the news, Stevie, you wouldn't tell me you don't care. But thank you for doing that.
Motivation. I know you're a lad.
I know.
You're a good lad.
I know. Marcus.
What difference does that make to anything?
Well, that's why I was interested.
Right.
Let me tell you now.
Wow.
Him and his boy are not winning a sports race. There you go. They are.
Don, that was quite...
Well, it's not just...
I know, Jan.
Going to be running. There's going to be other things.
Listen. I built Don Hutchinson up at Sheffield United. Hopeless passes from midfield, and I still managed to score. So he's just annoyed.
Right, let's get some questions going here. Questions for Don. Is Kai Havertz back to his best now? If yes, then how do you think he's going to perform next season?
Yes, and I think he'll be great next season.
Huh?
For a million reasons. Coming
give
to England.
Give us 26.
Well, coming to England.
Just a couple of fades.
You can't speak the language.
Two's fine.
No, you can't speak the language. You've got to deal with COVID. He had COVID. He struggled. He had loads of injuries. Going to a brand new club. He's got different managers to deal with. He'll be absolutely flying next season.
Defensive question, Nadim. What can Portugal do to counteract the speed and dynamism of younger opponents?
Oh, well done, Dan.
Thank you. Reading.
I think you can try and sort of figure out ways to not get good quality balls into them, but then also just don't try and have them in a foot race. You know, as I got older, I saw, when I was younger, I used to see some players, and they were old and they would never be beaten in a race because they never made it a race. But if you're going to allow yourself to do that and have a high line, then you're going to be punished, and ultimately that's what happens to them.
How does Enrique find such innovative ways to make Spain play so terribly, Jan?
Well, that was a good question. And I think when you discussed it, you didn't talk about them being an outsider to win it. I think they were, over the two games, I think they've been terrible. I can't understand what Enrique is doing. When I see Spain, I don't see an identity. I don't see how they want to play the game. So I'm not sure what he's doing, Enrique. He doesn't do it well, at least.
Who's the favourite after two match days, Stevie?
Well, if I'm a manager or a coach, I still don't want to play against France.
Right.
Pretty simple.
So France are the favourites.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would say Belgium or Italy. I think the Italians have, I think they've not lost in 28, 29 games.
Right.
So that's kind of just under the radar a little bit. And they're feeling confident, so I quite like
them. So Italy are the favourites over France, in your opinion?
Right now, yeah. Because the French team, obviously, they have all the talent. But there's just something about that Italy side where I think overall they're probably a bit more confident.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don?
I don't see Belgium. I don't see their back three being good enough. I would be with Stevie, France. You wouldn't want to play against them.
Yeah.
I would go for Italy, because, and I said that before the championship as well. I think that the balance in their team is fantastic. And after the two games, and they've done nothing to disappoint me or anybody who supported them. And I think that Italy will even be ahead of France for me.
I'd like to see Bonucci and Chiellini up against Mbappe and Benzema, by the way.
Here's the thing, right? you can't disagree with anything the Nerum said,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
But have you ever seen a team playing that well for seven games in a trot? They're in the group, they've played two, they've been fantastic, can't argue with that. Are they going to be able to keep that up for the whole tournament?
Sounds to me like you're saying England have got a chance. Based on what you
England?
Just said then. Based on what you just said then, he's saying England have got a chance. That's what I heard.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's
Roll
what it's about.
Slow burner, there you go.
How frustrating, Stevie, is it as an ex-professional to see how soft football has become and how easily rewarded minimal contact is in today's.
Oh, it drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, don't get me wrong. Some of the challenges that used to happen weren't right.
Okay.
You know, but it just was what it was. And the fact that they try and clean it up, I think is good. But unfortunately, it's gone way, way past just a hard challenge. You can't even put a hard challenge in now. Every single challenge, almost, is a free kick. Now, I'd have to say, the referees, I think, in this tournament so far, have been great.
Right.
As far as people falling to the ground for no apparent reason, instead of giving free kicks, which we kind of see in every domestic league around the world, they've not been doing it. I hope it carries on after this is finished.
Right.
Because it's just wrong to do that, just to fall over.
So modern day gripes, I would say your top two are players hugging and kissing in the tunnel beforehand.
Yeah, I'm not keen on that.
And referees being dramatic when they give a penalty after looking at the monitor. Which is the worst?
I'll tell you what, you've got to understand, right? When you're on the field as a player, and a referee is either giving you a yellow card or giving a penalty against you or whatever it may be, it's bad enough that they give the decision against you. But if they're given a yellow and they come running up to you and look at you straight in the eye and go like that, take that, you. You want to grab them by the throat. And the same the other night.
Well,
I can't remember
TV.
Honestly, I can't remember what game it was, but the referee went over to the monitor.
Yes.
Decided that it was a penalty.
Yeah, this is USA-Mexico, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And he sprinted at Usain Bolt speed with his hand like that, blowing his whistle.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
Nobody could catch him. It's like, give yourself a shake.
The way Man United played, do you think Jadon Sancho is a right fit? Is he going to be a success or a flop? Yeah, and you have been tweeting about this a lot. Obviously, it seems almost a done deal now.
Well, it's not.
Oh, okay.
I think
paying attention to your tweets.
No, but last summer, I never thought it would happen. So, but there is a lot of reasons why I think it will happen this summer. It's because, first of all, Manchester United put in a serious bid. They put in a bid 10 days ago on 70 million euro. It's not enough. Dortmund have told them that they want 90 plus add-ons. And people talking about negotiations, Dortmund don't want to negotiate. They said, either we get that or he'll stay. So, but will he fit Manchester United? I think he will be a perfect player for Manchester United. They need some exciting players in there. They need a player who can take on the opposition. I think he would be perfect for them. Sancho wants to leave. They have a gentleman's agreement, but Dortmund will never do anything unless they get 90 million euro. But I think that will happen in the next coming weeks. The deadline, remember last season, we talked about this 10th of August deadline when they're going in training camp. Now Dortmund is loosening up on that one as well. They're saying, well, we need it to get sorted as quick as possible. So I expect that in the coming weeks that Sancho will be a Manchester United player.
Nathan.
Hello.
As a player, were you more motivated to play against your former club or against the rivals of your former club? So take QPR?
Yes.
Did you want to beat United more or City more?
Well, playing against City in general, you know, you can be motivated all you want, but it's not really going to make much of a difference in terms of the result.
Right.
But I do have a lot of pent-up sort of hate for Man United, yeah.
Wow.
Whoa. So I always enjoyed beating them. You know, I never... There's just something, if you're part of a system of a club coming up, it will be very hard for you to not understand those rivalries.
Right.
And that will stick with you. You know, like I think United are a good team. I think, you know, they have their history and I think they'll be good again. But ultimately, if they lose in a final from now till forever, I'm quite happy with that. You know, that's just the way that it is. So I enjoy playing against those, you know, rivals of like United and stuff, but again, you know, if I was at QPR, playing against United, playing against City, tend to end one way more often than not.
When you played for Wednesday.
also not like Liverpool.
What about when you played for Wednesday? Up against Liverpool or say against United?
Not even close. United?
Yeah, you wanted to beat United more than anyone. No wonder this show's so anti-Man United. Listen, look at all this coming out.
Not even close.
One thing I saw when we were having the Super League, not the Super League talk, when United were protesting and stuff like that not too long ago, Gary Neville was brought people together to say we should all come out and march and do whatever.
Right.
And then very quickly you realise that not many people care about Man United apart from Man United fans, because that march was essentially just themselves, and it was like, well, there you go, Gary, now you've learnt your lesson.
What about you, Don? Did you try and perform better like Newcastle?
I'm a little bit
team,
of both, yeah, but I understand the rivalry because me and Stevie played for Liverpool and Liverpool hate Man United and vice versa.
Right.
But it was always nice when you try to get one over your former club.
Okay.
I always thought you performed, I did anyway, at a better level.
Right.
Something to prove.
So when you played against Liverpool, it was a little bit more.
Yeah, Liverpool Everton or when I played for Sunderland, being
didn't
a Newcastle fan.
Didn't you score the winner
fan.
Against. Oh, no, you didn't. Did you score the winner against Liverpool?
You trying to wind me up?
He scored
the winner for Everton.
Yeah, and it was given, and it's all fine.
No, it wasn't given.
Oh,
no. The referee, Graham Pohl, blew as the ball went over the line, yards over the line, hit the back of the net, and he blew for full time.
Well, it was full time.
Evertonians
I've
now
remembered, though, I've remembered.
Ballistic
you,
over it.
Because he scored the winner for Scotland against his old nation, England. That one.
There's no nation there, Needham.
It was more motivated. And it looks odd to see players with their shirts tucked in these days. Would the guys still tuck their shirts in if they were playing? Do you think short socks will be the next trend? Goodness me. A lot of fashion there.
Jan was shirt out.
Jan, you were shirt out?
First, I was shirt out, point one. And point two, I'm so happy that these shirts, we didn't have them. Oh. I mean, they were so tight, aren't they? I mean, having said that, I liked when I scored to the airplane celebration, but I understand people with the body of Cristiano Ronaldo that he wants to take off his shirt.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of passion into that, and there is a lot of things happening on the pitch that will never happen. And Steve, I just got a question for you, if I may.
Oh.
How do you like it when they swap shirt after first half?
Oh, honestly,
triggered.
I'm not allowed to express myself quite as openly on television. Tell you what, though, hey, Jan, I'd rather have a tight strip than a tight pair of shorts.
Oh,
you want to have seen the Bobby Dazzlers we used to wear?
Yeah, I
ooh.
Agree.
Yeah, they didn't leave much of the imagination.
What? I'll tell you what.
I know.
That was
I see Paul Mariner. Paul Mariner's shorts.
Mariner's honey.
Unbelievably short. Yeah.
You needed somebody to help you get into them.
I don't know what that means. Shirt tucked in, like where would you stand on the old shirt?
I was a bit strange, as you know.
So I was shot, we don't know.
I was tucked in with a little bit hanging out
were.
On the right hand side. half in, half
you did
out.
That on purpose.
Purposely.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I didn't want to be Rodri today with the shorts right up here, as Rodri wears them.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be a Jan because the shirts that we wore back in the day were like that wide and that long.
Right.
So they would have covered. Yeah. So literally, you
so
tuck
it's like
them
a
in, tuck
mullet
them in.
Almost hanging.
No. So you tuck them in, tuck them in, tuck them in, like you would with a shirt. So tuck your shirt in like that. Yeah. Then just a little bit of tweaking and then a little bit of out.
But doesn't that make everything fall out?
No.
You had a technique down.
Better that than long and or Rodri up here. Oh,
Stevie, I bet you put as much thought into tucking your shirt in.
I couldn't tell you. No. And the shorts.
Yeah.
Nathan. All tucked in.
All tucked in.
So the first year of my career, I tucked my shirt in and I looked like an absolute embarrassment, because one thing about me is like I've got the legs of somebody who's 6'3" and a torso of someone that's 5'9".
Okay.
So it looked like my shorts were literally right up to here.
To your nipples.
So ultimately, I regret that time. And when we started taking the shirts out, it balanced me out.
It's got to be a picture of that.
Oh, there's got to be a picture of that.
Nipple high picture. Finally, one. So Nathan and Don, has Dan been a good tour guide or is he leaving you guys out to dry?
You've been very good.
We've had some fun, haven't we?
Had some great fun.
We have had some fun. Yeah.
Thanks for the invitation, boys. Thank you.
Well, you're in Norway doing your television
doing
show.
Doing sports races.
Exactly. You can't do it.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
They wouldn't let you in here anyway.
Dan, I'd give you a solid 8. I'd give you a solid 8 out of 10.
Well, that's because you need a lift home.
Exactly.
Yeah, anything else?
Jill, hold on. Am I part of this question?
Apparently, yeah, but I haven't seen you.
So Dan Thomas texted me the other day saying, am I at the hotel? I said no. I said, all right, no worries. That's the contact I've had from you in the last 4 days.
Well, because I was walking the dog, and if you're in the hotel, I was going to come and say hello to you.
I give you zero.
Wow. I walked you to the car yesterday.
Yeah, you forgot that.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I'll give you one. My bad.
There you are. Perfect. Yeah. Come on, Bennett.
Is a hotel that close to your house?
Yeah, I can walk there. It's like 5 minutes away.
Could walk there.
Yeah, that's true.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. We will be back tomorrow. It is the first round of the final round of matches of the group stages. Ooh.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.